Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, you know, lines is an interesting thing. I think many of us remember lines from inaugurations past. You ask not what your country could do for you. But the American public's really skeptical of lines these days. We don't want to see people communicate to us in a way that seems overly written. So I think this is a moment where Joe Biden is going to do best if he's just himself. And, you know, obviously he will have a speech and it will be prepared. But I think that what we're all in the mood for is a sense of decency, a sense that there's an adult in charge, someone who has respect not just for his own supporters, but also for the people who didn't vote for him. And finally, you know, somebody with a vision. Vision is important, but also a plan to get us out of the many messes that we're currently in.
But nothing grandiose, no thousand points of light, shining city on the hill, whatever that line was. Maybe something boring, maybe something that just says, I'm here, let's get the job done, have a nice day.
Well, I wouldn't say boring. What I would say is that the moment, the sort of drama and the contrast is going to be provided by the moment. So I think, authentic might be the word I would use if I were making this pitch. And I also think it's important to recognize that just given the way that these things work, it's likely that we will pull out a line, you know, that the media will find a line regardless. So that's, which is a good thing. So we may end up 20 years from now quoting a specific line from Biden's inaugural, but I don't think the point of the speech is to have a great line. The point of the speech is to set a, to set an example for what a Biden presidency will look like and how a President Biden will behave and think about these issues.
You're suggesting that we'll do some of the mental work ourselves. That is, the sobriety of the moment will be sufficient contrast, and they don't need to come up with a home run here.
I think that's mostly right. What I would say is I would tweak that a little bit and say that what makes a home run is the combination of the speaker and the moment. One of my favorite speech writing anecdotes is that Martin Luther King gave essentially his I Have a Dream speech over and over again. I mean, it was not the first time he used that language, but it was only when he stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in front of hundreds of thousands of people in this enormous march that the moment was right. Everyone's attention was on it, and suddenly that became the I Have the Dream speech, I Have a Dream speech. And so I think that what makes that home run is a combination of an authentic speaker, a well-written speech, and also a moment that elevates all of it.
I would imagine that he must be thinking about the audience, though. People that voted for him, people that didn't vote for him, people that are listening around the world. Do you craft lines or think about that when you're writing this speech?
You certainly do. One of the hardest things about writing speeches for a president is that the audience is so big. Normally, if I was writing a speech for you, for example, we would have an audience. We might have media might be following it. There certainly would be people in the room, or at least pre-COVID, there would be people in the room. But with the president, the audience is literally everybody in the country, and in some cases, like a speech like this one, the entire world. So thinking about both what to say and also how to make sure that people don't misinterpret it, depending on where they're sitting. I do think you will see President Biden speak at least somewhat directly to people who didn't vote for him. That would be my guess. And I'm sure that he will be speaking with an eye toward reminding the world that American leadership is back, whether it's countries like Russia and China recognizing that they're now on notice, they can't get away with some of the stuff they've been getting away with, or our allies who are wondering, was this a four-year blip, or did America truly retreat from its place in the world? Reassuring our allies and putting our enemies or adversaries on notice, I think, is an important issue here.
Let's talk for a moment about how we should regard former President Donald Trump. Should he acknowledge him by name? Should he mention the good things that he did?
Well, now I'm tempted to ask, which ones? I don't think that he's going to dwell too much on President Trump. I don't know if he'll mention him by name. I don't know if he won't. I don't know, frankly, that matters. I think what matters here is the situation that the country finds itself in after 4 years of President Trump. We're losing 4,000 people per day to the pandemic. We just had a right-wing terrorist attack on the Capitol. We lost jobs in December, over 100,000 jobs. So this is not, we're facing all of these crises. And I think we do need to think about how to hold the President Trump and many of his enablers accountable for things they did, particularly if they broke the law doing them. But I think that Joe Biden's number one job is, let's figure out how we can overcome this. Let's figure out how we can get past this.
Yeah.
And in his speech, how does he put out a plan that makes us more confident that we're going to do it together?
I understand that, but still 40% of Republicans or people who identify as such say they don't even think he's a legitimate president. So I think it's a challenge to not talk to those people. And how do you bring them into the tent?
Two ways. One is, I think what you're looking for in a speech like the inaugural, you're not going to accomplish everything for an entire administration in one speech. But the good news is, this is the beginning. You don't have to. So I think what you're trying to do is get people to be open-minded. If you've spent the last 6-10 weeks bathed in this right-wing media ecosystem where you think that Joe Biden is, you know, literally running a baby eating ring or something nuts like that, you're going to see this speech and say, okay, maybe this guy seems kind of normal. I'm not a fan of his. I don't want to like his policies, but maybe I will give him some space in my mind to see if he can prove himself. Most importantly, if you're in the group of Trump voters, and this is a very large group at this point, who voted for Trump but no longer approve of Trump, or the 66% of Americans who have approved of Biden during the transition, this is a chance to sort of say, hey, here's a president who wants to govern for all of us. Let's see if he can do it, and let's see if we can be part of it. So I think those things are certainly doable, and I think that, you know, ultimately, no president has 100% approval, but this outgoing president never even hit 50% approval. I think that Joe Biden is aiming to be a president for the majority of the country.
President Trump had charisma, at least. Barack Obama had charisma. I don't know if Joe Biden has that same sort of gravitas. If we're looking for him to deliver some stirring words, I don't know that that's his greatest strength.
You know, I don't know that. I think they're very different. Obviously, Obama and Trump, to put it mildly, were very different, although I agree with you, they both had charisma in their own ways, or have charisma in their own ways. I think Joe Biden also, you don't get to be a politician of his stature unless you're charismatic in certain ways. I think historically, Joe Biden has not been associated with speaking in front of huge crowds, having these big,
right,
energetic rallies. Although, if you look at the 2012 speech at the DNC, the convention, he showed he can deliver a speech like that. I think Joe Biden's biggest strength as a speaker has always been the kind of ability to almost have a conversation, an individual level conversation with people. And I actually think that that makes him very well suited for the type of speaking that we're seeing now, because during the pandemic, you don't have these enormous audiences. So if you're a speaker who feeds off the crowd, right, President Trump was driving him nuts, but he didn't have a crowd to feed off of. Joe Biden doesn't have that challenge because he can give this very kind of close personal speech that sounds more like he's having a conversation with you.